If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters. Welcome back. You're in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you. We talk some basketball as the basketball season, like everything else in sports, in limbo. I'll tell you one thing that's not in limbo, and that is getting any work done on your car. Big O Tires is open, of course, as an essential business. Right now, you can buy three, get one free on tires. You hear me right. Buy three, get one free. If you are out and about in your vehicle and you are needing new tires, nobody has you covered like Big O Tires. Buy three, get one free on select in-stock tires with installation purchase. And don't forget, also conventional oil changes, just $18.99. Go to BigOTires.com to find the location nearest you. ASE certified. All of your repair and maintenance needs are there at Big O Tires. And, of course, if you need tires, nobody can take care of you like Big O Tires. Nationwide warranty. They're the best in the business. It's where we take our vehicles. Go to BigOTires.com to find the location nearest you. We welcome Jarrett Sutton to the Sprint Guest Line. Jarrett, how are you, my friend?
I'm good, Soren. Thanks for having me today. How are you?
Yeah, good. You know, it sucks that we don't have basketball right now. And let's start there. As you work in the NBA as a scout, how is this going to play out? How do you think the NBA wraps up the season, and are you confident that they will wrap up the season?
Yeah, I'm confident that, you know, hopefully at some point, you know, we'll be able to continue the season. Obviously, first and foremost, as is every league in professional sports, it's, you know, the health and safety of everyone that's going through this in our country. But I'm very pleased with Adam Silver and Mark Tatum and his group at the league office that are really looking at every option to try to continue the season. And as you know, when this went down, when we suspended the season and Rudy came down with the positive test, the talk with the players was they really wanted to find a way to finish the season at some point. And we're trying to make that happen. I think there's a lot of options on the table that the league is going to look at. Obviously, there's so many things that play a part in this as well, of just the NBA calendar with the NBA draft. You know, trying to crown a champion, but also have a draft, have free agency, and what's that look like from a calendar standpoint. And then I think there's short-term solutions, and I think there's also going to be some long-term impacts that come into play here with where we're at. And I think we're trying to figure out the short-term solutions right now, and we are fully aware of what's going to take place down the road. And I think every team has the same mentality, and I think that's what's been really eye-opening for me in this experience as a scout, is just working with our staff internally with the Pelicans, but also just the fraternity feel that that is going on right now with every front office and scouts I know around the league, and just trying to figure out how this is going to look for us moving forward, and really what stance the league is going to take moving forward as we try to get basketball back, hopefully sooner than later, but obviously when safety allows that to happen.
Yeah, the draft. Are we going to get the draft on time? I'm very adamant that the NFL should hold its draft on time, and as of right now, that's what they're planning on doing. And I get that the NBA has a season that's not finished, but I think everybody knows they know what their needs are, and I know they would have the same challenges right now that the NFL does of not being able to interview players, not being able to bring them in for the medicals and all those things. But if everybody's in the same boat, why not press on? And one of my favorite nights, I mean, I love the NFL draft, and I actually do like that they stretch it out over 3 days. I don't like the third day coverage as much because I think they get away from talking about the players that are being picked, which is what I want to know. I actually want to hear about the fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh round picks. NBA is just two rounds. It's one night. It might be my favorite night of non-actual game sports out there because you know so many of the players. There's so many trades. There's so much activity. Man, I would love to have the NBA draft to watch one night. But they don't seem to even be considering pressing on with its normal time in June, do they?
Yeah, I think that's really – it depends on who you ask. You know, I heard – I was on a call this morning that said, you know, the league is going to try to keep the draft in its June time slot. I think it's tough just from, you know, a team side of this as far as if we're going to continue the season at some point. you know, that's going to be well beyond June, right? And I think that's why this is so unprecedented, is, you know, trying to find this solution. Because, I mean, obviously, I'm on a day-to-day for me, I'm working with college coaches. I'm trying to, you know, identify an intel and try to talk to coaches about their players. And they're asking me questions, obviously, of this process, because it's picked up sooner with no NCAA tournament and players that are now home in their hometowns and wanting to get feedback and looking at agents and things like that. I mean, the process has started, and we're very much well into that process. I think as far as projecting that, I mean, right now we are looking at a June draft, and everything that I have been told is we're going to keep that same date, but that is subject to change. There is a call with the league and the general manager committee today that is going to take place. My GM is going to be on that call, and we're expecting to get a lot more information. And the thought is that there will be a decision on the draft this month, that they will make a decision and set that in stone of when that draft, when the 2020 draft will take place. So that's a good thing, that I think we're going to get more information to where we're going to have a decision sooner than later. But, you know, I think when you just, you look at the draft in general, I think for us and for me personally, the challenge is going to be, if we have that draft in June, not being in market. You know, I was planning to be in New Orleans, be able to be in that draft room with our scouts, with Trajan Langdon, with David Griffin, to be able to make decisions together and have that camaraderie and feel of our front office. And I don't know if that's going to be possible. You know, I know that we are planning to conduct interviews with players via Skype or Zoom. So we will have that opportunity to interview players, which is a good thing. We obviously aren't able to have a combine. We aren't able to have players come in market for workouts. That's a huge part of the draft process. It's a huge part for players, too. They can get a feel, get a sense. There is a lot of strategy that goes into those workouts of who you're bringing into market, what players are going to be a part of that positionally. There's so much that goes into that, and that's a huge part of helping a player build their draft stock. So I feel bad for the player, most importantly, because they're not going to have that opportunity, but they will have an opportunity to interview. So again, as is everybody within you know, professional sports, we're trying to look at ways to be creative and be proactive to take the opportunity and make the most of that opportunity, whatever, you know, takes place as far as when the draft will occur.
Does it help or hurt certain players? Does it help a European player, hurt a European player? Does it help? Maybe we'll focus more locally. Like, does it help an Azubuike, you know, a veteran player? I've heard some people say that they think this will push the veteran guys up because they're more of a known commodity, and that the younger guys that are, you know, if you're drafting Azubuike, you know, 70% on what you know and 30% of upside, you know, a lot of the guys that are one and dones are more 20-30% of what you know, but it's that 70% of, wow, there's still this ceiling out there of what he could become. Do you think that's true, that that'll push up the veteran players? Does it push up big men over little guys? Do you think there's an advantage that any type of player might gain because of the limited time that teams will get with them?
Yeah, you know, it's a good question. I don't know if it's necessarily an advantage, because I think every team looks at the structure of their roster and where their situation is at. Are they in rebuild mode? Are they in win now mode? I do think players that have a little bit more of a body of work, like I think Udoka Azubuike, the fact that he had such a great year, stayed healthy, showed he was in shape. I mean, he's built his stock for himself to have a little bit more discussion with teams about him and where he's going to go. What team really values him and can put him either in their rotation or in a situation where there could be a plan there for him in a player development situation. So I think, you know, using him as an example, I think the fact that he had such a strong year, and I guess we're fortunate that we were able to see these guys throughout the regular season. Yeah, we didn't get, you know, a conference tournament or an NCAA tournament. I was planning to go out west to see more of those West Coast guys at Washington and Oregon that have kind of built themselves up. But, you know, let's take Jaden McDaniels from Washington, a young player, very talented, a lot of raw potential. You know, not having him do a workout is tough. I think that could help him come in market to have a workout. So I think there is a case to be made for that. But I do think when you look at just overall, whether you're a young player, an older player, an international player, I think everybody somewhat is at a disadvantage just because you don't have the ability to work out. But I do think an older player, a player that had a good season, I think take Marcus Garrett, for example, if we're looking at the local scene. I mean, Marcus Garrett had such a tremendous year. not just because he was the best defensive player in the country, but he really showed what he was capable of with the ball in his hands more. I think he's got a tough decision, right? Is he going to go back to Kansas, be the starting point guard, build his stock to where he could really solidify himself as a first-round pick? Or is he looking at it as, man, I had such a great season. Everybody knows what I'm capable of. I'm a long, lanky guard that has the ability to be a combo guard. And do I want to come out now? Do I want to get feedback? And I don't have an ability to work out, but I want that feedback to make my decision. That makes it a little bit more of a difficult conversation, I think, for a guy like Marcus Garrett. But Udoka Azubuike is a good example just because he had such a tremendous year, and he's really improved his stock. He's really helped himself. And I think that goes to show you what it means to go back to school. There's no rush in coming out early. I mean, Udoka Azubuike was a dominant player as a freshman, and he had injury problems. But, I mean, my gosh, he has improved himself so much this year with his foot speed, being in shape, playing so relentlessly hard, and showing he can play in the pick and roll. He can play above the rim. All these things that have really helped himself to where he's more of a conversation now as an older player in this specific draft. And I do think it helps him regardless. Even though he's not able to work out and he's not able to go through the process, he still has solidified himself as being a prospect in this draft.
Do you think his game, you know, this has been the big thing, is that there's just no place for him to play. Do you think he's shown enough at being able to hedge up top, guard off the pick and roll, and do those things that he's not this, you know, because last year he was described as this guy that you just couldn't possibly put him on the floor in the NBA, which I always felt was unfair. I think if you can't, you know, figure out a way for Azubuike to play with you, you probably shouldn't be coaching in the league. I'm not saying you want five guys like that, but you can have him and four other guys. Do you see any upside left in his game, and what kind of team that would you envision him fitting with?
You know, I think when you look at his season this year, the reason why I say he's helped his stock so much is if you look at last season, and I don't even look at the injuries. I think the injuries were sort of a freak thing. I don't think he's an injury-plagued player. I mean, I don't think he's a guy that's going to be flagged. I mean, obviously the medical is so important when you lead into the draft. That becomes an important piece of drafting a player, of just projecting out. But when you look at just the body of work as a player, and just, you know, the type of kid he is, you know, great person, all the reports you get from him and are tremendous. But you got to remember, I mean, he was 16 years old when he got on campus at KU, different culture. And, you know, Coach Self has said this, and I agree with him. You know, if you want to win in the NBA, you got 82 games. We'll see if that changes. But, you know, you go into the playoffs, you need to win a 7-game series. You know, you're going to have to win in a variety of ways. And, you know, is Udoka Azubuike going to be an elite all-star player? I don't know. I think there's that still remains to be seen, because, you know, most of the guys at his position, they're playing on the perimeter. They're shooting the basketball. They're able to play in a up-tempo style where they can screen, they can pick and pop, they can defend the rim, they can defend on the perimeter, and they have a lot of skill and ability. And Udoka has shown a great ability just to impact the game on both ends of the floor at the rim, which is something he had to do. He was a monster. I mean, he's 6'11", he's 260 pounds, but he's an athlete. That's what coaches always talk about. And I think that's what some scouts miss, and what I wanted to see more from him this year, as opposed to the previous seasons at KU, is showing his athleticism. That is so important in the NBA game. You have to be an athlete. You have to change the game with your size and ability, which he has. And I think now I could see him more in a role with a team that is a winning team, playoff team, that needs a big off the bench that can just go rebound the ball, that can play in the pick and roll against elite guards. You throw it up, he's going to go get it, dunk balls, and be tough and be in great shape. That's the biggest thing for him at the NBA level. He's got to stay in elite shape. He has to work on his body every day. The nutrition has to be there. All of that, when you're a pro and you're collecting the check, you have to be a professional in every sense of the word every day. You're not going to class. You're not having GAs look out for you when you're in the dorm. You're not having coaches harp on you. It's your own profession. It's your own job, and you got to excel in that. I think he will do that, and I think all of that has helped his case this year, where I think a team can see some value in him in selecting him, you know, somewhere in the second round, where I think he could be impactful off the bench.
Yeah, no, I do too, and I've seen his name kind of creep into the bottom. And I think if you are a team that's got a good foundation, then grabbing him is not a bad idea down at the bottom, just to have a big physical player that is a body you can throw around. I think I get it that everybody's looking to chuck it from outside, but sometimes when everybody else zigs, you got to zag a little bit and let everybody play small ball, and then let them try to defend him down. On the other end, I mean, I think there's always a give and take, and a good coach should be able to find a place for him. We're talking with Jared Sutton here in the program. How about Devin Dotson? Do you like his game? I think he's going to go in the first round, because I don't think Bill Self just absolutely recruits over a spot the way he has. There is no place for Devin Dotson to come back. He was quite confident that this was going to be it for Dotson. But right now, most of the mock drafts aren't putting him into the first round. Do you think he's a first-round pick?
Yeah, I think with Devon, I love the comparison with Frank Mason and Devontae Graham. I like these three at Kansas, just sticking with the local flavor of these three point guards. Let's look at Frank Mason. He's with the Milwaukee Bucks. Great point guard. You know, a guy that his situation is playing in the G League, because there's just not a spot for him with the Bucks roster. They're stacked. They have point guard depth, and there's just no place for him. Now, one injury happens, Frank Mason's called up, he's playing an NBA game. You know, we're seeing that with us with the New Orleans Pelicans. Obviously, we have Lonzo Ball. We have Jrue Holiday. We have multiple guards that can play different positions at the point, at the two guard. And when you look at our roster, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, who we drafted last year in the first round, great point guard. I mean, he could probably play the point guard position. He's got great size on an NBA team that might not have point guard depth. We have a lot of depth. He's in our minor league system. But when he got opportunities to play with us, he was terrific. I've gone back and watched some of our games, and to see him play in games when we were banged up and not healthy, which was for the good portion of the first half of the season, he was very good. And he's got the maturity and the mentality where he can handle the G League. And Devontae Graham was the same way. Devontae Graham went to the G League and had the maturity and the attitude to embrace the G League. Look at him now. Look at him with the Charlotte Hornets. I think he's here to stay. He's had such a great year. I saw him a couple months ago when he was up in Minnesota playing against the Timberwolves. He was terrific. Talked with several of their staff, and they love him. And he fits everything they're about. He's a culture guy. He's a winner. He's got that same attitude and mentality that he had at Kansas. And he stayed at Kansas. He went from a two guard to a point guard when Frank left and embraced that role and won. That, to me, is why they took a chance on him and why he has stuck and why he's been successful. When I see Devon Dotson, he's a younger player than Frank and Devontae. Obviously, he only had two years. That was sort of the plan all along, that he would stay for 2 years. I think there are things about Devon's game that are very good. He's got great speed. He's great to the rim. He is tough. He is fearless. He plays with a ton of attitude. He plays with swagger. I do worry about the perimeter jump shot off the bounce at the NBA level. He is great stationary off the ball. If you go back and look at the Iowa State game at Kansas, made a ton of threes. Wide open, uncontested shots. That's great. Can he make contested shots off the bounce at the NBA level against NBA length? That remains to be seen. There's really good point guards that are right in his same conversation. Jared Butler at Baylor, Trey Jones at Duke, a guy that's really come on strong, Peyton Pritchard at Oregon. I mean, another older player that has shown so many skills to be a rotational backup point guard. And that's what Devon Dotson is going to be. I think if Devon has
Is he a point guard? Sorry to interrupt you there, Jared. But, you know, they kind of moved him off the ball and really were kind of playing him as the two guard in a lot of things. You know, there's a lot of talk about how he couldn't get the ball into the post. I mean, do you see him as a true point? I mean, and you don't have to be just because you're short. There's so many great point forwards now, big guys that really handle the basketball and distribute it, that there's a place for a smaller guy that can score and then defend other teams' point guards. But do you think he really is a point guard?
I'm so glad you said that, because at the NBA game, when you look at positions, we're always talking about being positionless, right? I mean, that is the NBA. You got to play multiple positions. I also think when you look at the NBA teams that really win and excel, they have size. And you look at Steph Curry. I mean, he's still 6'3". You know, he's still a good-sized guard. With Devon, you know, he's undersized. He does lack some measurable components that can really be a struggle for guys at the NBA level. And you're playing in a totally different structure and system at the NBA level. It's a different game than the college game. But I do think he has the chip on his shoulder that I like. I would identify him as a point guard without a question, but that doesn't mean that he can, you know, just completely identify as a point guard, right? If he improves his jump shot and he puts in the time, that's a great thing about Devon. Everything I get back from him is he's a guy that loves the game. He is all about hoop. He puts in the time and energy into improving different areas of his game, and we saw that this year. I thought he took great strides. And for a guy to come back, there always has to be a plan. There always has to be a step forward that you got to show. He did that down the stretch, having the ball in his hand, being tough, being able to play with Marcus Garrett and really switch one and two, who's got the ball, going to the rim, attacking in their weave offense. I think he showed some good things. But I think it's just tough when there's other guys at his size that do a lot of good things as well, that I think is a tough conversation. I've had more conversations with Devon of, you know, matchup comparisons. We do that a lot of, you know, who does he identify best with? What matchup would you say? Is he better than Jared Butler? Is he better than Peyton Pritchard? Is he better than some of these guys that are going to be point guards? Because you look at R.J. Hampton, you know, he's coming into the draft as an international player. He's a 6'5 combo guard. You know, guys are going to take risks on Killian Hayes, another international guy. That's got 6'5 size. I mean, and can play multiple positions. That's what Devon is up against. So I think he is going to be a draft pick. He is going to be a guy that teams really look at. Is he going to be a first round draft pick? I'm not sure, because I think he probably identifies more to the beginning, middle portion of the second round. But I still think he's a valuable prospect. I still think he's got a good chance. But he's got to have the right mentality and an attitude, because it's going to be that first year, second year, third year window where he's going to have some G League time. And he's got to play through that, exactly what Devontae Graham did and exactly what Frank Mason is doing right now.
We'll take a break here. We're talking to Jared Sutton. It is a basketball hour for the Hoop Junkies right now, and one of the best when it comes to breaking it down, both college and pro. We'll get into what the college teams, the local teams, look like moving forward. Pelican scout, basketball insider. He does it all. He's Jared Sutton. More with him next here in the program. Welcome back. You're in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're talking basketball with Jared Sutton, New Orleans Pelican scout, one of our basketball insiders. You hear him regularly on the Border Patrol, and he's brought to you today by our friends at Big O Tires. Listen, your vehicle, you got to have tires on it. You got to have it running. 16 locations around the metro, that's Big O Tires. ASC certified technicians, yes, you've got that. And right now, you can take advantage of the buy three, get one free on select in-stock tires with installation purchase. Do it today. Also, got a great deal going on right now when it comes to your oil changes. Got to keep that car running. $18.99 special going on for the conventional oil change. At all Big O Tires, go to BigOTires.com to find the location nearest you. Jared, real quick, the Missouri kids, all three of them, Pinson, Smith, Tillman, declaring for the draft, not going to hire an agent. Are any one of those three ready in your mind?
No, I think all three guys, I'm all four guys getting feedback. I think it's good for them to hear the truth if they really embrace and listen to the feedback and take that feedback seriously. You got to have a level of self-awareness to that. Look, Jeremiah Tillman, there's guys that like him in the league, but obviously he just has to show more. I mean, he's got to stay on the floor. He's got to stay healthy. You know, he's got to show his ability to impact the game, both ends of the floor. He's a great athlete, got great size, moves very well. I mean, he is a guy that would translate. I think for Xavier Pinson, you know, really solid season, came on really strong at the end of the year. He's got to get much stronger. I mean, I think he is a great playmaker. I think he's got a lot of shiftiness to him that I like. He's got great vision. He shot it better towards the end of the year, but he's still a 28% three-point shooter. That's not going to get it done. But he showed he can play in the pick and roll. There's things to like about both those guys to really, you know, look at next season of areas that they really need to improve upon to really have a chance. But look, I think when you look at those two guys, and then I think Mitchell Smith, you know, a guy that has some size. I appreciate his story coming back from injury, making an impact off the bench. Being able to be a stretch forward, but, you know, he's got to show more if he's going to be a pick-and-pop forward. And there's another guy that's got to get stronger. If there's out of those three, I mean, Jeremiah Tillman is the guy that I circle, is a guy that teams are going to look at. But he's far down the list as far as guys that really have a chance to stick. But you know, again, the size, the measurables, I do think he's got a good work ethic about him where I could see a team putting him in their G League. Absolutely. I don't think that's this year, but I think if he could have one solid season where he stays healthy, plays consistently, that's the key word for him. And I think with all these guys on that Mizzou team is to play consistently throughout the season, then I think he's got a chance. But again, there's a lot of work still to be done with Jeremiah and all three of those kids.
If you got three guys that at least can, you know, declare for the draft to find out where they sit, did Missouri grossly underachieve, or is this a little bit of a stretch for these guys? Which, I mean, it seemed like one or the other here. Either Missouri should have been better than 7-11 in the SEC and 15-16 overall, or, you know, these guys are not even close.
Well, I mean, I think it's a microcosm of their season. I mean, you know, we were talking about this team around the holidays. They had a great win against Illinois, and look how different those teams went direction-wise in conference play. You know, it was good to see Missouri have some good moments. Again, that was for, what, a week and a half? And then, yeah, you know, they have these hiccups where they're scoring in the 40s and 50s. You know, that can't happen, especially in the SEC. I think they did some things that were good as far as changing up their offense, having more movement, more spacing for Xavier Pinson to work. A lot of people have said, you know, if Jeremiah Tillman was out, this team, you know, was able to identify its strengths, and that is Drew Smith, and I think Xavier Pinson being the two leaders of this team. There's some guys that like Drew Smith too. You know, I was kind of surprised if we're talking about the Smith guys. I mean, Drew probably would have been one I thought would get some information. But I think as far as the team is concerned, it's just a microcosm of their season. They have good moments, but then they have long stretches where you don't really know their identity, right? I mean, at the beginning of the season, it was they're a great defensive team. Well, by the middle of the season and in conference play, they weren't defending at a high level. Then they have some good offensive games where they score over 90 points, you know, and play so well against Florida. Then they turn around and score 45 at Mississippi State. Like, that level of just, you know, all over the spectrum, you just can't have. You have to have a level of consistency to win at a high level and take each game and carry and build. And that's kind of a part of a season, right? I mean, it's a marathon, not a sprint. You got to build on each game. I just don't think Missouri did that. And hopefully they can, you know, take that stride forward this summer into next season. They have everybody back, and we'll see what they do with a few open scholarships. I was really upset and bothered to see Trey Jackson transfer. I wish the guy well, but I had a lot of excitement for him of what he could be for Missouri, and I thought he had so much potential and upside and just a terrific athlete, a guy that I think could translate to the NBA game if he could figure it out mentally. I'm not sure what the situation is there, but I thought losing Trey Jackson was a big hit for Missouri.
Yeah, when you see Eric Musselman come in and is seemingly got Arkansas kind of on fire, you know, I've noticed a lot of people, Jamie Dixon came in at TCU and had great classes, and that's kind of calmed down. It seems like when you're new, you can kind of, you know, you kick the door down with authority. It's the maintaining it, right? We saw that obviously with Konzo Martin as well. You know, is there concern about the recruiting class, the fact that it's one kid who's like number 300 in the country right now? I know they've still got a couple of guys that are listing Missouri as possibilities that are really good players, and I know they've got a deep roster already as far as the number of kids that are there. And Missouri's always been in this kind of perpetual, you know, loop of where they've got this one year where there's no one and then another year where they've got to go get like seven kids. Are you concerned with where the recruiting is, or is too much being made about that with Konzo?
You know, I think it's one of those things where I look at just the body of work in recruiting over the first 3 years for Konzo Martin, you know, right out of the gate with the Porter brothers, getting Tillman, you know, getting guys that I thought would have a real impact on recruiting long term. You know, I think missing out on a guy like Caleb Love last season was big. I think they were really high on Caleb Love. I would have loved to have seen him in a Missouri uniform, but you know, I think when you look at the recruitment, there's this thought that is good, that Konzo is in on a lot of high-level guys, a lot of highly ranked guys, and that's great. And I think that's good to have a plan in place to go after your top targets. But you also have to have those targets in that three-star range, because that, to me, is Missouri basketball, is being able to capitalize on guys in that three-star range, like Marcus Denman when I was a player at Missouri, like Kim English, like Lawrence Bowers, those guys that can be 3-4 year guys that can really impact your program and turn that program around. I think when you look at guys that I have on the current roster, you know, a guy like Mark Smith, that's a 4-year guy. That's a guy that should be able to help this team in a lot of ways shooting the ball. He's been banged up with injuries, and I guess that's been sort of a, again, another point of Konzo's 3 years is the injury bug. That's not an excuse, but I look at just the recruitment and guys that he's identified in the class of 2021. The good news is, you know, there's some guys that have some familiarity as far as being Midwest-based. I think Konzo's kind of embraced just opening up his recruitment. He's focused so much heavily on St. Louis, which is good. But I think he's looking at other markets. I think he's looking more in Chicago. Obviously, you got Xavier Pinson out of Chicago. That's good. It's for him to have a presence in Chicago. I think having a presence in Kansas City and west of Kansas City is still good. There's good talent that he can hit on in that 3-star range that can be role player guys for your program. And you got to have that. You got to continue to bring in talent. And if you're going to bring in players late that are development projects, that are players that need refined in their skills, that's good. But you have to have a plan for that. You have to have a player development plan and structure for guys to improve. That's the biggest thing with college coaches is having that player development plan in place to really grow guys. I mean, you can get a 3-star guy and build that player up, and he can impact your program. It doesn't necessarily have to be a 5-star guy that you got to land every year. I'm happy that he's going after those guys, but it has to be about building your roster and player development and then finding a philosophy that fits their skill set on the offensive end to have more offensive flow, rhythm, spacing, shooting, whatever that is that your identity is offensively. That plan has to be put in place for your recruits, for your current roster, and you have to build on that every day, every year, and that's how you can continue to rebuild the program.
Jared Sutton is with us. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about K-State as well as the Jayhawks, what it looks like over the horizon for them. Cardi Ejiadah leaving. Should there be concern on that front? That's next with Jared Sutton, scout for the New Orleans Pelicans, brought to you by our friends at Big O Tires. 16 locations around the metro. You can find the one closest to you at BigOTires.com. Right now you can take advantage of the buy three, get one free on select in-stock tires with installation purchase. Also, $18.99 oil changes, get it right now, and you can receive up to $50 with your Big O credit card. I'll find out more by going to BigOTires.com. Welcome back here in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're talking basketball with NBA scout Jared Sutton, also talking about the college game and where it's going from here. We talked about Mizzou in our last segment, Jared. How about the Cats? This was obviously a big step back for K-State this year after being a league champion and then in the Elite Eight 2 years ago. They like their young players. They love their recruiting class. It's a top 25 class, according to 24/7, that's coming in. It's based on its depth. There isn't, you know, a one and done, but it's a good, deep class of solid players, which is really what K-State does, is get good players and get experience for them, and that's when they've had their best team. So I get why the future is considered quite bright. Cardi Ejiadah clopping back at Bruce Weber. I said at that time, listen, he is gone. There's no way he's going to come back. You can't have him back if he doesn't know he's gone. They'll let him know at the end of the year. So I'm not really concerned about that. You know, Bruce Weber has had guys leave. He's, you know, had to watch Marcus Foster go and rebuilt the team. So he's proven that he can do that. Or should there be more concern? Are we giving too much credit to the fact that he had, you know, that trio of players last year that really kind of rebuilt this program, and maybe it's not as easy as he made it look that time?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at last season, you know, obviously a disappointing year for Kansas State. I think when I look at the season that K-State had last year, I think it's all about role identity. The year prior, you know, you touched on it, that senior class, the leadership of Barry Brown, Dean Wade, Kamau Stokes, those guys were you know, guys that stayed at K-State. They went through the process all 4 years, had success, NCAA tournament runs. I mean, you look at this past season, Xavier Sneed has always been a role player at K-State. And, you know, I think knowing that his role was going to be very much, you know, a bigger role, a bigger piece of the pie this season, I thought we'll see how he responds. We'll see how he really embraces that role, because it's unique to him. He is very much a role guy that plays off of a lead guard like Barry Brown or a big in Dean Wade. And I appreciate Xavier Steed because he's been so versatile. I think that's what makes him kind of an intriguing prospect is just you look at his career, he's had to move over different positions just to help with the injury bug that Dean Wade had and sustained. And I thought X was very good in different roles for K-State during his career. Cartier Jarrah is tough because I think I had expectations that he would have a really, really strong season. And when I saw him in practice in the fall, you know, that was the expectation of the coaching staff as well. Was he was going to be the guy that fulfilled Barry Brown's leadership. And he's a vocal guy in practice. And when I saw him practice, he was playing through an injury where most guys sit out and he was practicing at full speed. And I thought, this is the level of toughness that this program is all about. He just didn't have a season that you would want. He struggled with turnovers. He struggled with consistency. I think there was a lot of things there that really played a part in just embracing this new role that he wasn't used to. Mikal Mouin, again, another guy I expected more from, didn't see as much. I think where the upside is with this program, they went through a tough season, but I agree with the coaching staff that they got some really good young talent that if they develop and really grow the way that I think they're capable of growing, like DeJuan Gordon, I think he's got such a bright future. You know, Montavious Murphy is a guy that they've identified as being a very good hybrid four-man, which I think is very good for their system. And then a great recruiting class coming in, no question. They got a lot of talent, but they're going to be young. And, again, it gets back to role identity. Who's going to step up into different roles? Because at K-State, I mean, they're high on having a leader emerge, and that's what they got from that senior class that took him to a Big 12 championship, is those seniors led both vocally and by example. And I don't think there was much of that there this season. I think with X, you know, he's a lead by example guy because he plays so hard. And he's relentless defensively. Maybe not much of a vocal guy, but he does lead by example. I just think they're missing that level of role identity for that team. Moving forward, guys got to step up. Guys got to continue to grow and develop. They have guys on their roster that can make a huge impact and make that freshman to sophomore year jump if they embrace the summer period. And I think that's why I do have upside and a thought that K-State will be able to get through this. They'll be able to get back to who they are and compete in the Big 12 for years to come.
Yeah, they need a big summer. I think that's a great point by you. What do you think, and by the way, guys can have a big summer, and I think the kind of kids they've got at K-State are the types that should go to work knowing that they need it. There's minutes available now. I mean, the two top guys are gone, so everybody should be inspired to go get it done right now. Tell me, what do you think of Kansas next year? They obviously are going to lose a lot of talent, but they also bring back some experience. David McCormick stepping in, I assume DeSouza is still going to be there. We haven't heard otherwise. And they bring in Bryce Thompson, a guy who is one of the top recruits in the country. How much of a fall off do you think there is for Kansas?
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be much of a fall, to be honest with you. I mean, Bryce Thompson is the real deal. I'm a big, big fan of Bryce Thompson. Great kid and very, very talented, multi-skilled guard. I think they can come in and pick up the slack right away with Devon leaving. I expect we'll see what happens with Marcus Garrett, but if he's back, he's their starting point guard without question. He is going to be the one. It's similar to what they did with Devontae. They'll move him from the two and have him be on the ball as their primary point guard. It's a huge year for Ochai Agbaji. You know, he is just right at the surface, right at the cusp of taking that jump forward that I know Kansas fans want to see from him. It's all mental with him. I mean, you got to remember, Ochai Agbaji has never been the guy. Going back to his AAU days, even his days at my alma mater at Oak Park High School, I mean, he wasn't really the guy until his senior year at Oak Park, until later on in the season where I think it clicked with him that, wait, I'm a dude. I am a player. I am a guy that is one of the best players, not just in the city, but in the state. And I have to have that mentality. I can't always be thinking that I'm just a backup or I'm a role player, or I'm a red shirt. He's not that anymore. He is a talented, talented athletic guard that hasn't showcased it enough in games. But everything that I see in practice, the work ethic, the type of kid he is, Ochai Agbaji is going to be a great player for this program. And I expect a lot from him next year. I think that's a huge piece. Christian Brown is another guy that could take a huge step forward. And then I would put Tristan and Aruna in this conversation as a guy that Tristan's probably their best NBA prospect right now. I mean, with his size and athleticism, he's not ready yet. But my gosh, he's got a bright upside and a bright future.
Yeah, he's another guy like we were. Sorry to interrupt you, Jared, there, but I just wanted to interject. He's a guy that would fit like what you're talking about with K-State. He could go have a big summer wherever he goes. He could use a great, like, you know, under 19 or under 20. I don't even know where these are. You end up reading, it's like, oh, up in Canada. And then, of course, we might not get any of these in this offseason. But you can also just go to work at the park by yourself. But if he has a big offseason, he is a guy that could just take a huge leap forward.
Absolutely. And, you know, again, when you look at the way Kansas is built, you know, with a young player like him coming in, and I'll be honest, the program that he came from overseas in the Netherlands, they always stressed with him going to Kansas, it was the perfect fit for Tristan because he had to get tougher. You know, he had to get more physical. He had to understand coaches need to be on him all the time. And Bill Self was, and Tristan responded every time. Bill Self is going to challenge freshmen. That's what I love about him earlier in the season, is he always is going to challenge freshmen in practice. He's going to give them an opportunity in games, but he's going to challenge them in practice and how they're going to respond, because that's how they're going to respond in games, and then that's how they're going to respond in January, February, and March when it matters. And with Tristan, you know, it's just a little bit about opportunity, because, I mean, Christian Brown embraced his opportunity. Guy shot 44% from three, and he played 18 minutes a game. You know, he came in the game, he was a shooter, he understood shot selection, he was tough defensively. I was so impressed with Christian Brown and what he brought to the team off the bench. He had a lot of great moments. You look at the K-State game at home, I know so much is made of what took place off the floor, but I mean, he had a 20-point game, and he was terrific. I think he had five or six threes in that game. He was outstanding. And Tristan didn't get a lot of time in that game. But it was sort of like a plug-and-play with Christian Brown, with Tristan and Aruna, with Isaiah Moss, with guys that just had to step up and make shots. And if Tristan can improve, I mean, he only shot 26% from three. He's got to improve his jump shot, because teams were leaving him open. And, you know, he still shot those shots, but he was open for a reason. He's got to engage the three-point shot more. He's got to put time in. Mechanically, I don't think it's a problem. I think he's got good sound and shot mechanic. I think it's got a lot to do with repetition and confidence, because he is so talented. He's athletic. He can guard multiple positions. He can go left and right. He can finish with both hands. All those things are there for him to be an NBA-caliber player. I know a lot of teams like him. He's just not ready. But when he is ready, he could take Kansas to the next level without question. So I think all these guys that are returning – and you're adding Bryce Thompson, just such a terrific talent, young player that's going to come right in and fit that culture. I don't think Kansas is going to fall off at all. I told their staff that on Monday. I think they still are built for another solidified run in the Big 12. And then obviously in March, going for an NCAA championship. I know they couldn't do that this year, but I still think they're going to be right there next season.
Jared, let's get to our Kansas City Orthopedic Institute Final Four. Four quickies. I'll start you with this. We'll move fairly quick here. Who should go number one overall in the draft?
Great question. I think right now it's going to be Anthony Edwards at Georgia. I think he's a guy that has really impressed a lot of people. James Wiseman is going to be up there, LaMelo Ball. But I'm going to go with Anthony Edwards right now.
Okay. Give me a sleeper in this draft.
A sleeper in this draft, I think Emmanuel Quickley from Kentucky has impressed everybody. I think he's going to be a first-round pick. He's really jumped off the board and just continued to improve his draft stock. And I think he's just skimming the surface. So I think Emmanuel Quickley would be a good steal.
This year's, and then this, of course, assuming we're going to have it, but you think we are, this year's NBA champ will be who?
I'm going to go with the L.A. Lakers. I'm going to give it to your Lakers. I think, and again, we'll see what takes place. We'll see how these guys respond and the quality of play. But we played them several times there before this coronavirus hit, and it's so tough to guard them, especially with Anthony on the perimeter. It's, yep. It's tough. It's a tough matchup for anyone.
They are going to be a tough matchup. I agree. All right, and finally, during this downtime, have you picked up a show? Anything you're binge watching? Anything you've taken in during this time at home?
You know, I have. I know we've talked about this. I mean, Tiger King is, I think, taking the world by storm. So I'll say Tiger King. But Ozark is terrific. And then for all sports fans, I would say Sunderland Till I Die. Two seasons. It's so good. International soccer. Highly recommend that for sports fans.
Thunderland?
Sunderland Till I Die. It's a Sunderland AFC. It's a Premier League team. It's a very good show on Netflix.
All right, cool. I'll have to check that out. Sunderland till I die. Nice. I'm writing everything down, so I got plenty to watch if we end up being quarantined more or I guess, sent home longer than we all want. Hey, Jared, stay healthy, my friend. It's always great talking to you, and I look forward to talking to you again down the road.
Thanks, Trent. Thanks for having me. Be safe, and thanks again for all you're doing for KC with just everything you got going on with all your sponsors in town and everything you're doing to promote local business here in Kansas City. I really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate that. Jared Sutton, one of the best in the business when it comes to the game of basketball. Even better guy. We love having Jared Sutton representing Kansas City. That's going to do it for us. Everybody have a great weekend. Stay safe. Stay home if you can, please. We would appreciate it. Let's get through this as quick as possible, and we will see you back at it again on Monday at 2:00.